Mike O'Mara, Radio Entertainment.
Hi, gang. Now, if you'll all be quiet, we'll start the show.
TMOS Classic Friday Flashback.
We are really, really excited to have this gentleman on the show. Pete Holmes has a book that hits today. It is called A Comedy Sex God. Well, I read the book, so I might want to say Comedy Sex God. Well, we'll ask him about it in a second. It's available wherever you buy books. Pete's a comedian, writer, and cartoonist, and a Christ-leaning spiritual seeker. Man, does he seek in this book. This book is just chock-a-block with seeking. He hosts the popular podcast You Made It Weird. He created and starred in the HBO show Crashing, which had Rob Spiewak on it. That's why it was canceled. And he co-executive produced with Judd Apatow. He's been on television for a long time with specials on HBO, and he lives with his wife and daughter in Los Angeles. And we are thrilled to finally get Pete on the show. Pete, thanks for coming on the Mike O'Mara Show.
Yeah, nice to be here, and nice to kind of be with Rob again.
Yeah, it is nice, isn't it?
Yeah, Pete, this is Mike, and let me just say right out of the chute, I am so sorry that Rob did that to your show.
You know, I had a feeling. Yeah. Can we call it the curse of Rob now? Any show that he's on, it's the last season.
Yeah. It's thank God I'm just doing a podcast, because my God, if it was anything more significant like your career, but I don't like to use cliches like you can't put it down. But I will tell you that there was a day when I was reading this book when I had show prep to do, because I was coming in to do this show and I was reading it in the morning, and I literally could not put your book down.
Oh, well.
I'm not even sure I know how to talk about it, because this is stuff that I do not spend my time thinking deeply. But your book is, now tell me if I'm giving people the title the correct way. The book is not Comedy Sex God. It is Comedy Sex God. Would that be accurate?
Yes.
Thank you.
Yes,
okay.
That's right. I do get that a lot, and we knew I would get that a lot. We knew that the title was a little bit misleading in sort of a funny way. So my editor and I, Luke, we liked that people would be unsure if I was calling myself a comedy sex god or if those are the three topics. But since you've read it, Mike, you know most of the sex in the book is with myself. So I am not a sex god. It is not the case at all. And I'm certainly not a comedy god either. Those are just, I have a podcast as well. And those were always the three topics that I just naturally gravitated to. I love talking about comedy. I love talking about sex or God or love, like relationships. And I love talking about God or the mystery of existence or the meaning of life. So it became a funny title.
And there's only one part of the book that I don't want to do a Game of Thrones spoiler alert here, but there's a, because when you talk about most of the sex was with yourself, there's one part where you talk an awful lot about that, but I just didn't know. I don't think you did. No, you just talked about it, and it was an awakening, and you were out there with Ram Dass. I'm into this book. I mean, I might be going on my own journey on this book, but you talk about masturbation as a teaching moment. It's just let me tell you, there is stuff in this book that if it can get a person like me, a failed Catholic, somebody who got back into a Lutheran Episcopalian hybrid church, and then the pastor ended up behaving very badly with one of the married parishioners, so they kicked him out, and then they wouldn't tell the parish what was going on. And I'm done. This is me. This is me. What about a year ago, guys?
Yeah, right, that's not right. Yes.
We're about a year ago.
Your Sundays were
open. Done. I'm done. Sunday's open now. Screw it. Not going back. Not doing it. But always in my heart feeling that kind of that need and searching. And I don't want to get so heavy, Pete, to say that things happen for a reason. Rob was on your show. We wanted to book you for a long time. And then this book, I think the short version is, I had no idea that I would be reading the book I was reading. And it was absolutely fascinating. It's so much of your spiritual journey, which is such a massive part of your life. You really do open up in this book about your entire life, and you're a seeker, my friend. You truly are.
Absolutely. And I wish that wasn't so rare. I think it's just so embarrassing. Obviously, religion and religious people are so embarrassing that it's hard to kind of admit that you have a leaning. That's why I like to say Christ leaning. It's a way of not turning people off by saying that I love Christ or I love Buddha or any of that stuff. But, I mean, there you are saying you're exactly, Mike, who the book is for. My mom joked that she was going to give the book to my pastor, and I was like, it's not, you know, you can, go ahead, and, you know, knock yourself out, but it's not for him. I wrote the book for people like you and for people like me. There's tens of thousands of them that I swear I've met, maybe not in person, but online, and a lot of them in person, that lost their faith. And for reasons like you mentioned, you know, my pastor, my church had an affair with the person he was counseling and everything fell apart. And obviously in all sorts of traditions, there's even worse things that happen that make people leave their church. And in my case, it was a divorce. Like I felt like I had been such a good boy, capital G, capital B, and I didn't smoke or drink or swear, and I believed the right things, and I didn't have sex until I was basically married. You know, I kind of go into that in the book, but I even did that right. And then my wife had an affair, and I sort of looked at God like the mafia, like I was paying my protection money, and he was supposed to stop the hoodlums from throwing a brick through my bakery window, you know, and he didn't. They still broke my window.
When you sat down, when the idea of the book, was it always in your mind that you were going to write a book that was not so much your standard comedy fare, but a book about, you know, your journey? Is that was that in your mind for a long time, yeah, before you took pen to paper?
I think that's why a book. You know, like you, I have a podcast, so I have a way of talking with people, which is really nice. And I'm a stand-up, so I have a way of, you know, talking to people in that way as well. But really, I'm not exaggerating, the most interesting thing to me is the mystery of existence and what babies can be saved from bathwaters and all the various traditions and what they're all sort of pointing to. I mean, I just woke up, I'm on a different time zone, and I just woke up with that sort of like, this again? Like, what is going on? Like, I wake up that way most mornings. Like, I'm just like, I don't accept this as just like a natural foregone conclusion. It seems like such a strange predicament that we're all sort of like stuck in these bodies, and we're all acting like it's so normal that we're on a rock in infinity and we're talking to each other and eating churros. It's like so off-putting to me that it's all I really want to talk about. So, you know, I talk about in the book that I experimented with psychedelics and I dived into more than one spiritual tradition, and that was because I just can't shake the feeling that something very strange is going on, or something maybe very mysterious is going on. So with a book, I sort of felt like I had permission to get into that directly. I was like, look, if you buy a book called Comedy, Sex, God, you're probably okay with me talking about comedy, sex, and God. Hmm. And that's what I'm looking for. I'm looking for somebody that's giving me permission to talk to them about what I've learned. And as we've already discussed, that can be tricky.
That actually answers the question I was going to ask you, because I get the distinct feeling that you're using the book also to, you know, you're not trying to put your system on everybody else. In fact, quite the opposite, but you are using it to enlighten and to teach a little bit. And I came away with a feeling that I've got to dive into it one more time. I should probably read it again, but I was fascinated with the, some of the paths you took, and specifically with, I guess, your spiritual guy, this gentleman, Ram Dass, that you went to see in Hawaii. I just felt a real warmth during that entire section of the book. When you go out to Hawaii and you get a personal retreat with him, and just this wonderful guy that exudes love, and I was moved by it. I was affected by the book. It got me thinking. And you know, they're not enough. You're right, not enough people that are seeking, that are out there trying to find something. And who knows what the answer is? And that's kind of where you are with all this. But you don't give up the search. If I'm rambling incoherently for our listeners, I will tell you, it's because a lot of this stuff is hard for me, Pete. It's a little difficult for me to wrap my head around all of it, but it does start me thinking. And it's almost like as I'm reading this book that you wrote, I said, yeah, when I interview you, I want Pete to know that I've done a good job, because I kind of felt that way. So I don't know. I got to go back and look at some of the stuff again.
I hear that. And, you know, I'm compelled, Mike, to tell you to read The Universal Christ by Richard Rohr, which is in the further reading section of my book. I recommend that. I just interviewed Richard Rohr for my podcast about that book, and I swear I have the exact same experience. I just wanted to demonstrate to him that I understood the book, and I just wanted to tell him how much it meant to me. So I'm flattered if it's anything like that. We kind of alluded to a couple things. One is that the definition for God is one that I think a lot of people will enjoy, which I got from Joseph Campbell, which is that God is a metaphor for a mystery that absolutely transcends all categories of human thought, including being and non-being, which is just another way of saying we need to talk about something. I make a joke in the book that it's like dogs trying to understand the internet, you know, and dogs can only really get so close to understanding the internet. But unfortunately, unlike dogs and the internet, we're born with an itch. Like, we really, 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 we're sort of, I don't want to say cursed, but maybe blessed with self-consciousness. We know we're here. We know we die. We know what's going on. We have this very active frontal lobe. So we want to know what's going on. And what I sort of explore in the Joseph Campbell part of the book is that, like, metaphors and mythology and stories are the closest we can get to talking about the ineffable, which is really just a fancy word for things you can't talk about. And that's why it was so important for me to have experiences that were ineffable, whether they were experiences in love or experiences with psychedelics. Things that I couldn't nail down easily made me think that maybe that's what religion was trying to do. They were trying to talk about things that you really can't talk about, and the best we can do is with metaphors. So that was that. And I also don't mind talking about the reason it's called Comedy Sex God is because for so many of us, I mean, look at what happened at your church and look at what happened at my church and look at what happened in my youth. It's like God and sex are so intertwined. And I write in the book that, like, when I was a kid, I wasn't tempted to lie or steal or cheat or hurt people. But of course, I was very sexual. Like, you have a new batch of hormones bubbling up from within every single morning. It never goes away. So, of course, when you raise people to believe in God, and especially if you believe in a judgmental and hell-kicking people into God, you're going to worry that your sexuality is your big problem. It's the number one thing putting you at risk to going to hell. So I had to talk about that. I had to write about what it was like finding a love that is as indiscriminate as the light, that loves even, not even, loves that part of you as well. And I had to learn to love that part of myself as well, which is why there's so many shameful masturbation stories in the book. later, it's by design.
You grew up in a very religious house because of your mom, and you know, you were brought up in that, where the kind of evangelical experience where there's a lot of repression. The Catholic Church that I was brought up in has a lot of that as well. And it kind of, you know, I have stories within my own family where the religious beliefs made people inevitably less happy based on you can't marry somebody who's been divorced. My aunt, God rest her soul, was in love with a man in New York, couldn't marry him because he'd been divorced because she was so doggone Catholic. And I think the thing that resonated with me when you talked about your spiritual path was looking at our days and what's happening in our lives as episodes. Because there's a big chunk of this book where you say all the problems we have in life, all the stuff that we deal with on a day-to-day basis, the good, the bad, if you look at it like episodes, that was a fascinating way of looking at life. As far as people who are stressed out and going through, if you look at like your life and what happens to you as episodes of a show, I thought that was brilliant in the book. And that's the one that got me where I said, man, if I could do that, I wouldn't yell at the guys I work with so much.
Yeah. I mean, I'm sure they'd appreciate it. maybe you would yell at the people that you work with, but you wouldn't be so, to use Buddhist language, you wouldn't be so attached to it. Or you wouldn't be so lost in identification with it. Because I don't want to, I'm not selling morality, which is obviously sort of how most religion is interpreted. And I'm all for it. I think we should be kind to one another. Right. But there's something about, like, when I lose my temper with my wife, for example, I don't mean at her. I just mean when we're together and I lose my temper, I sort of do what I'm talking about. And I just say to her, like, I'm very angry. I'm going to be angry for fun now. You know what I mean? Like, there's a detachment to going, like, my body wants to be angry. I'm going to rant about this, but please don't think I'm in the boat and it's just, you know, getting further and further from shore. I'm still here with you, but I'm going to get angry just because it's what the animal wants. It's what my body wants. I'm going to do it, but it's just for fun. And that's what the idea of good episode is often when we look back on things that happened to us, we resist them in the moment. And then later we look back and realize that if it was a TV show, that was a really great episode of The Mike Show or The Pete Show or whichever one we're watching. That's like a very sort of Western and simple way of looking at a very ancient and Far Eastern idea. And also it's in Christianity as well, which is the idea that you're not your small self. You're not your false self, which is what Carl Jung would say or Freud would say. You're not your psychology, and you're not your nationality, and you're not your race, and you're not your gender, and you're not your favorite food and your favorite movie. This is all stuff that's all a story that your mind is telling you. Who you really are is the awareness that's observing that stuff. Science calls this consciousness. Just, it's what your body formed around, you know, and it's what you sort of, it's your basic operating system. And, you know, Christians call that the soul. Hindus call that the Atman. It's basically just your basic isness. And when we're in that place, why have that like fancy thought? It's like fun to go like, oh, maybe we're souls. For me, that's where peace is, and that's where joy is. You know, Ram Dass taught me that joy and peace don't exist in the ego. They can't. Our egos are constantly shifting, and they're just stories made of, you know, I was just on vacation, and I was eating ice cream on the beach, and you're like, oh, this is nice. Like, your brain sort of lights up, like, this is nice. But it's fleeting. It goes away. The ice cream melts, or you eat it, or it's gone. And then you want some water, and then you want to swim, and then you're salty, and you want to nap. It's constant, never-ending bullshit, you know? But, like, what is the part of you that's just observing that stuff? That's just sort of, and you can get in touch with it, you know? I say in the book, I say, sing happy birthday in your head, and then ask yourself, who is hearing that? Who's hearing you sing that? And then try to identify with that.
This is heavy stuff right here.
TMOS Classic.
The book is Comedy, Sex, God. We're talking to Larry the Cable Guy.
No.
Oh, I'm sorry. No, I'm kidding. No, I'm sorry. I had to make a joke like that. Oscar, I know you wanted to get a question or two in with Pete Holmes. It is a great book. You can tell Pete is a thinker, ladies and gentlemen. He thinks more about this stuff than you or I, and I'm fascinated by it. I wish I did it more. I might do it more.
Please
after
do.
Both reading the book and talking
to stop yelling.
Go ahead, Oscar. I don't want to monopolize the conversation.
Pete, it's an honor to connect with you, and thank you for tolerating Rob Spiewak, our colleague, for years now on your set. If you were going to pick any hack DJ in the country, he is the guy to bring on set and play
great
that
casting.
Role. He killed.
It was.
Perfect.
He did.
Perfect.
What I wanted to ask you was, really, if you talk about life in episodes, my upbringing is Latin, so it'd be in a novella. So we're going novella. I know my mom finds joy in buying yet another, probably her 50th of the year, Virgen de Guadalupe candle. How can I explain to my mom that we don't need a candle in every room, and just because you light them doesn't mean everything's going to come true?
Right. Yeah, you know, it's funny, man. I sort of talk about this in the book, is that there's a temptation when our, I want to use fewer fancy words, but when we evolve, let's call it evolving, and we become a little bit more spacious, let's say that. So our minds and our hearts are a little bit more open, right? It's very, very tempting, and I'm guilty of this with my own mother. I've sent her so many books. When I buy something on Amazon, it's like the first address. They think I'm sending it to my mom, and I'm like, no, this one's going to be for me. So there's a real temptation, right? We want to bring people along with us, and we want to sort of, I don't know, for me personally, I want to look down on how other people believe. You know, there are people listening that probably believe, I know there are, of course there are,
yeah,
that believe differently from me. And the beautiful thing about my worldview now, as opposed to my worldview before, my worldview before was that I had to convert, and I had to, almost like in Alcoholics Anonymous, they say you can't force someone to become sober. In the same way, you can't force anyone's heart to open in this way or that way. And when I look at when my heart opened, nobody forced me to do it either. It was a divorce. It was psychedelic drugs. It was loss. It was this. It was despair. It was all these things that had to happen to me in order to get, you know, in order to arrive where I've arrived. But then, of course, when we get someplace that has more joy and more peace and more freedom, and if I'm hearing you correctly, maybe less superstition, right?
Yes.
Which really is just the brother of fear. You know, so you want your mother to have less fear.
Yes.
And you want her to be able to say, yes, to what is. Richard Rohr says the first forgiveness is to the universe itself, you know, for being how it is. So when we're superstitious and we're afraid, we're really resisting what is. And when we're resisting what is, we're not living like Christ. Christ walked around saying, look at the birds, look at the flowers, look at the trees. He kept pointing us to nature and how unanxious nature is. So I hear your love for your mother in that question. But at the same time, to quote Ram Dass, when you leave third grade and you go to fourth grade, you can't look back on the people in third grade and be like, look at those idiots. You were those idiots. You were those people in third grade. So
very true.
It's important to have compassion and realize that it's all relative. It's not going anywhere. Your mother is lawfully living out the life that she's supposed to as a part of this whole big one thing. Even though it doesn't make sense, you just sort of have to...
Oh, I embrace
what
it.
We all have to do with our family.
That's a Christmas has a lot of candles.
Well, Pete, I got to tell you, I have to jump in here because, you know, here is the man himself, the man who made us more aware. We are all aware of your show crashing and your stand up. But Rob was so thrilled to have the opportunity to work with you. And I remember you saying great things about working with Pete and how great he was to work with.
Gracious.
And now this is like a reunion for you, Rob Spiewak. Talk to your pal.
It's so cool. I really do. I have to say in front of everyone who's listening, you made that day on the set so fun. I mean, literally fun. I went in scared out of my wits because I didn't know what to expect.
And then you effed it all up for him, Rob.
And then I got the show canceled. And so for that, we're sorry. But I also want to, so I do have to say a most sincere thank you for making that day just spectacular. Really had a great time.
Oh, you were great. You were so great. That was a really fun day on that campus. You and what was the young lady's name? Forgive me.
Sarah Fraser played Cindy.
That's right. That's right. You guys were both great. As somebody who's done, you know, a lot of radio like that, I thought you did a really good job kind of doing the Mountain Dew drinking, not listening DJ. I thought it came out really, really well.
And I want to say I echo what Mike says about your book being so insightful and as a seeker. I take a lot of comfort knowing that you just had a baby. How old is your daughter? Is she 6 months now?
That's just about right. She's 7 months, yep.
And it's when you have this sort of journey, this faith-seeking journey that you're on, and you have the courage and the faith to bring a child into the world, that makes me feel good, because you're obviously a much smarter man than I. And so if you're bringing a child into the world, I think we're going to be okay.
Is that a question, Rob, or what? I'm just curious about
It's a compliment.
It's a compliment. Yeah, and I also wanted to know, has having a child changed your view or your journey?
Yeah, I mean, definitely. The last couple chapters of the book are about Leela. That's her name. And Leela means the dance. So when we're talking about the other guy's mother, what was it, Mario?
Oscar. But he'll answer Mario too.
I'll take Mario. You're
it's
a celebrity.
Carlos.
Carlos. Hector.
Fernando.
So Hector.
Sorry. I'll call you Mario now. It's not even close to Oscar. There's just an O in it, I guess.
Hector's that's
the O works.
Yeah, Hector.
It's early. It's early in LA. It's all right.
I love it.
It is early. Her name means the dance or the play of the universe, basically. So what we're doing is what we're doing. And this is all there is, really. My friend Michael Gunger wrote an incredible book called This. It's just called This, which really changed my life. And it's about unity of consciousness. It's basically the idea that physics is pointing us to, not pointing us to, concluding Einstein, that we were basically all one thing. And as this one thing loses itself in the illusion of separateness, it's all sort of lawful. Everything that's happening is interconnected. When you get in the water in the ocean, you feel like you're surrounded by something, but you're no less surrounded right now. You know, you're surrounded by molecules that aren't wet, but you're just as in the thick of it as you are in the ocean all the time. You can't escape it. You're basically in one big jello mold. That's what Leela means. It's like it's just one thing singing itself. It's dancing and it's playing. And that's why when we were talking about Mario's mother, it's all in the game. And that's sort of a big point in my book, is that like loss and divorce and certainly doubt and shame, it's all in it. It's all in it for it to experience itself, if that makes sense. And it's not an error in the system. It's all sort of the play to help us, Mike used the term, enlighten, in order to lighten up, you know, in order to wake up, in order to live more freely, more peacefully, less attached lives. But whatever's happening, you're talking about having a kid at this world at this time. I totally understand that. And yet here it's all still going. It's all still happening. The dance sort of continues.
Beautiful.
I want to tell you, Pete, And I know I speak for Rob and Mario when I tell you that I think that this is truly a an interesting book to read. It's got so much wonderful humor in it. And I you've changed me a little bit, and I'm going to continue to try to seek out some stuff with this because it is fascinating. When I read a book like this, I wonder how the process happened. And it was Rob doing your show, and then we wanted to get you on the show, and then reading this where I really couldn't put it down. I think a lot of people are going to enjoy this. And don't think because we're dealing with these deep thoughts, all you people that are going to accuse me of not being light enough on my podcast, you're going to get something out of this. It is a comedy sex god, and you know, there are no commas in this title, but I will tell you, this is a great read. And Pete, I wish you nothing but the best. I'd love to, you know, when you come through Washington, stop by and visit us if you're doing a tour. We'd love to chat again, when we have more time to do it. And good luck with everything. And as far as last question, real quick, and this is the standard one, but I'm genuinely curious about it. After Crashing, anything else television in the works besides the stand-up that I know you're still doing? What any projects? I know you're constantly thinking and creating. What's going on?
Well, you know, it's funny. So I recommended Richard Rohr to you. Richard Rohr is this amazing Franciscan who, when I recommend him to people, I also have to be like, don't worry, it's not boring, it's not terrible, it's not closed-minded or judgmental, just like what you had to do whenever we talk about this stuff. But anyway, Richard talks about, like, he has this beautiful thing about, like, knowing needs to be balanced with unknowing. Basically, all our certainty needs to be balanced with mystery. And I would add to that, doing needs to be balanced with undoing.
Yep. So, amen.
I was so busy for 4 years, and I always take it as love that people want to know what I'm doing next. And there's definitely ideas kicking around, and I'm working on writing a couple things and doing more stand-up. And, of course, doing my own podcast. But then, like, I'm trying to balance it out. I had 4 years. I mean, Rob, you saw what it was like. That was me every day. It was 14 hours a day.
It was, yeah.
For months and months. And then the rest of the year was writing and editing and doing the press. And that was a privilege. I was so happy to be able to do it. And now I'm so happy to I get up, I write for a couple hours, and then I'm hanging with the family and trying to rest a little bit. Because I think we need to remember that our best ideas come from, it's a quiet voice. It's not a loud voice. It's a quiet voice. So we have to be quiet enough to hear it. And that means some ice cream on the beach. Thanks.
I love it. You know what? And you write beautifully. Keep doing it.
Yes.
I think I found this book really special. It's Comedy Sex God. Pete Holmes, thank you so, so very much. And please, I'd love to have you on the show again anytime you want to come and join us and just chat about
It'd
the bigger
pleasure.
Things in life. It would be so much fun. Good luck, Pete, and thanks for coming on the Mike O'Mara Show.
I'd love to. Thank you, guys.
Thank you.
Thank you, Pete. That's Pete Holmes. Pretty good talking to him, huh, Robbie? How are you?
Fascinating.
Did you have a good time, Hector?
This is apropos. I asked the stick question, and he quickly forgot my name. And he said,
it's heavy. I can't articulate it. He is a deep thinker.
But it's very
really
palatable.
Cares about it's very easy to understand. It is.
It is.
He has comedy in it, but I'm telling you, if you are somebody like me, spiritually, who is in a bit of a void, my whole family is right now. Mm-hmm. I mean, and you see something like this and you go, I haven't been energetic enough to explore Eastern religions and philosophies and looking at life. But I've always been curious about it. And
yes.
this is a kind of a door that opens for it. And I think you'll get a lot out of it. And it's extremely funny.
Add this? Oscar wanted to ask a question of him, but Mario is here, you know, monopolizing all the time.
Yeah. Mario always interrupts.
He's a blabbermouth.
Right.
Oscar was truly shocked by the way that a man who has reached success in such a really volatile business, whether it be comedy or, you know, feature films or producing television shows.
Yep.
It's shocking that someone that is so grounded can be so successful in a world that we perceive as, you know, show business. That is, it's cutthroat.
Yeah, you don't see it a lot.
Yeah.
So he's clearly doing something right.
Well, when you read the book, and give your brother the copy of that book because he doesn't have it.
Mario will read it.
Give it to Mario because I think I come out of that saying peaceful and you want to be a better person. Yeah. I didn't want to put that kind of pressure on Pete talking to him, but it's really, really interesting stuff. And you know, you had said that he was a cool guy on the set. That
extraordinarily. I mean, the way I described it, he was very giving. He did not have any sort of hunger for the attention, and he was very eager
nurturing.
To spread it around and nurture what was going
that's
on in
great.
The scene.
Damn.
And the fact that he brought that in the interview today, it just shows that that's really him, I think. I really do.
And if you need this cell for it, a lot of masturbation.
Want more? Make sure you check out the Mike O'Mara Bonus Show.
Mike O'Mara Radio Entertainment.